earthquakes and other natural phenomena, night turning into day, day turning into night, and so on. In general, biblical texts and the Sumerian, Mesopotamian, Babylonian omen texts, as they are called, consider that that time, which by the way doesn't last a month or a year but can last hundreds of years, as a time where mankind itself, as a result of the nearing of that planet and as a result of the natural catastrophes, will also be in turmoil. But that will be followed, according to the biblical prophetic text, by a time of peace, of nation living with nation, of, to refer to the title of the third book, The Wars of Gods and Men, as a time when men will transform their weapons into plows, into tools of peace. So a time of upheavals, natural, human, followed by peace, prosperity, goodwill, or in the language of the New Testament, the return of the kingdom of heaven to earth.
Okay, you said that they were here 440,000 years ago. Is that the last time they were here, or have they been here more recently?
Oh, no, they were coming and going every 3,600 years.
What was about the most recent time they've been here?
Well, if I'll answer that, you'll figure out when they're coming again, so...
Oh.
That's the one question I keep avoiding answering.
Okay.
I know, I tried to ask him that the last time he was on, and I got nowhere with that. And I didn't think we would this time. But you know that it's less than 3,600 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you probably can do a little bit of math and kind of scoot it down to yourself. It might get interesting here in the not-too-distant future.
As I said, I wanted to point out, because that's based on questions asked.
Well, the reason I had said that was because you had mentioned Abraham, which I think you had said was like 4,000 years ago.
Right.
And apparently they were here then.
Right.
Hmm. Okay.
Math gets awfully close whenever you bring Abraham into it, doesn't
really?
It?
Really? Okay.
All right.
Well, I'll be looking forward to both of your new books then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call, William. Okay, Dorothy, it's your turn.
Yes, Bill. Hello.
Hi.
This is the Dorothy you know from Santa Monica. You've got a 5-star program tonight, I have to say.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, I was really surprised to get on. I wanted to ask you, Bill, how the in regard to the genetic engineering that was accomplished in the Sinai Peninsula or in that area there, how does that tie in with the Drs. Vivian and Lee Gladden's book, Their Heirs to the Gods, with which you're familiar? I don't know if Zachariah is familiar with that work.
No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there certainly is a tie-in. Their work comes out of the etymology of the Bible, whereas in Genesis they talk about the engineering of the DNA molecule of the celestials themselves and the indigenous primates that were living here at the time. And they literally replicated the new human being, which we may refer to as Adam and Eve. And the story goes on. There's a great deal of similarity in the Sumerian writings and that Lee and Vivian found dealing just with the Bible.
Yes, well, with the Gladden's book, though, I understand that their celestials were to come from the constellation Bootes.
That's right, in a planet that was in orbit around Arcturus, named Mazaroth.
Well, it's occurred to me that we have had a tremendous dearth of information in a black hole in our studies and our information for the past 2,000 years or so, or more than that. We have a lot of time to make up and a lot of studies to go into, since the ancients seem to have it way ahead of us at this point. But I certainly have enjoyed getting on and talking with you, Bill, and looking forward to getting out at the bookstore tomorrow to get those books.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy.
Surely.
Appreciate it very much.
Right.
I'm Bill Jenkins with me, Zachariah Sitchin. It's Open Mind. Like, to me, you just sat down, Zachariah. And here it's about time for you to get up, so we'll get on with getting to as many as we can here tonight. Bob, you're on.
Exactly right. I'm very impressed with your rational type of explanations, except with certain exceptions. I tend to agree with Craig on the uniqueness of a planet with a 3,600-year orbit and what life would be like and how it would be adaptable to Earth. But it's also very interesting to find the use of the most heat-reflective material we've got is finely divided gold, or gold is actually the most reflective material.
Isn't that fascinating that the Sumerians will even know about the properties of gold that are attributed to the science of our time?
Well, it is, except that it only keeps heat from getting out, it keeps heat from getting in. And
but it also responds to electromagnetics in a very unusual way.
That means that their summers were not too hot then. Maybe Los Angeles could use such a system.
It might change things quite... Well, we would definitely keep heat in, so you don't really know what would happen. However, I do definitely believe at that period, in those periods of time, we've had near planetary collisions. I would tend to think an orbit of a planet like that would tend to even itself out, just like the Earth evened itself out, having been split, according to your theory. I also believe that in this accident, we depressurized the Earth, which is why so much of the earlier life was destroyed. The bigger animals could not sustain the oxygen levels they needed. And Craig took away all my power. I hope you're hearing that, Craig.
Yeah.
No, but that's a good question about, you know, how's you going to live without sun? Because obviously it's many astrological units out there in its darkest winter, but it's just winter to them.
Well,
right?
I understand that, everything does tend to fall in place if the planet has internal heat and you are reflecting it, and also gold becomes a light reflector, so any energy that they would be lighting their planet with would be reflecting. And I don't necessarily think that, and when you read some of these earlier works, that every description as we translate them or as we comprehend them tends to be exactly correct, because sometimes the words were missing. But I certainly think that there's an awful lot there. I mean, it's in the Bible, and it's in everything that von Daniken says tends to be at times. I haven't read your stuff, but that's going to be rectified very fast.
Good. Thank you.
Zagara.
Thank you.
But I believe that, like, von Daniken tends to be a very irrational, present very irrational arguments along with a whole bunch of very rational ones. And some of it is because the information we get is very sketchy, and some of it is because the opposition of so-called scientific communities can only understand the status quo.
They like it the way it is. That keeps their grants going. Don't trouble the waters.
Okay, but thank you very much.
All right,
thank
Bob. Thank you for joining us here. And I'm sorry, Craig took away all your power there. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, Joanne, you're on.
Yes, Bill. Like everyone else, I feel that tonight's show is particularly interesting. I have two questions for Mr. Sitchin, and they're unrelated. First of all, could you please explain the origin of the different races on Earth?
The origin of the different races.
I hope the second one is easier.
Yes, it is.
Well, you want to tackle that one or go to the second
one? No, let's do the second one.
All right, that is, why did they feel that gold was in the Persian Gulf?
Well, as I said, maybe too quickly in passing, at the beginning of tonight's show.
I possibly missed that.
Yes. The first one to have come to Earth was a ruler who was deposed on their planet, who escaped to Earth in a spaceship, and had time to explore Earth. Now, all seawater, by the way, has a certain amount of gold in it, and the Persian Gulf is even richer than others. Now, you do need a very sophisticated, elegant way of extracting those small small minute percentages of gold in the water to extract it, but it could be done, and they obviously had sophisticated methods if they could travel in space almost 500,000 years ago.
I see. Thank
so,
you.
So that is... Now, the origin of races, the Bible tells us in chapter 10 of Genesis about the so-called Table of Nations, all the nations that developed out of the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japhet. Now, the names have a meaning, by the way, which can explain or throw more light on as an answer to your question. Shem meant a spacecraft, and a rocket ship, and the lands of Shem were the lands where the spaceport, mission control center, and so on were located. Ham meant the one who comes from the hot areas, or the one whose skin is brown. And Japhet meant the one who is fair-skinned. So according to those notions, the three races of mankind developed out of the remnants of mankind that stayed after the great flood or the deluge.
I see.
Does that help you, Joanne?
Yes, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the questions. They were good ones.
Thank you.
I'm Bill Jenkins with Zachariah Sitchin. You'd have just a few short moments, so make your question real, real quick, if you will.
Yes, Bill. Uh-huh. Mr. Sitchin.
Yes.
I'm definitely going to read your books.
Thank you.
A very informative evening. I'd like to know, on the basis of your studying the ancient texts, if you feel that the UFO sightings may have something to do with perhaps the people who are our benefactors or something similar to that.
Well, I myself have not seen a UFO.
Well, I have.
You have. Okay, so you know on that subject from the current point of view more than me, but when the subject of UFOs is raised with me, and since I'm a biblical scholar and a student of ancient times, I tell usually people that, since we are running out of time, I'll make it short. The story of Jacob, the so-called Jacob's dream, is really a story of his seeing a UFO, what we would call today UFO. So my answer is, if one believes in the Bible, one has to believe in UFOs.
Very good.
Okay, did that
thank
happen?
Thank you.
All right, Joseph, thank you for your question. I'm glad we could get you in. And I'm sorry we can't get the rest of you in, but our time has done us in. But you will have a chance if you want to tomorrow. Zachariah will be talking with Elizabeth Clare Prophet about his discoveries at 3 p.m., and she's well up on Zachariah's work at the Summit University tomorrow. That's at 26800 West Mulholland Highway out in Calabasas. Be there if you want to hear more about Mr. Sitchin's fascinating reports. The admission is $5, and you can call 818-880-5300 and find out more about that appearance tomorrow. The book is The Wars of Gods and Men. It's done by Avon Books, available everywhere. Zachariah, thank you for flying in from New York to be with us tonight. It's been one of our most fascinating
days. Bill, it was my pleasure.
And anytime you're back on the West Coast, you get in that chair.
Okay.
Is that a promise?
Well, it's a hot seat.
All right. In 2 weeks, Tom Bearden will be here on Weather Wars. We seem to be in one. You'll get the story then. See you then. Night.